Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's Tony DeBolfo and Tony Moakley. It is episode 26D.
R.J.
The great man, David Rees-Jones. Tony, you've called it. Norm Smith medalist, of course, for his magnificent performance on Dee Bredeton.
I wonder if Dermy still goes to bed every night and has a nightmare thinking about that game.
I'm sure he does. You know, for the abundance of riches that Dee Bredeton amassed over his football career, it's the ones that they don't get that gnaw away. And isn't that magnificent to think that Dermot goes to bed at night actually mulling over what might have been in 87?
Ruining that very hot day, but a magnificent servant of the football club and still engaged with the club.
He is indeed.
David Rees-Jones, you see him around all the
committed,
time.
A committed member of the Spirit of Carlton, and you often see him at public engagements here as the master of ceremonies at our various functions. I saw him in a recent Q&A with the great John Nicholls here at the club. So, loves Carlton. What a great decision that was to leave the Harbour City for Carlton Town. He's never forgotten it. And he is a great Carlton man. We're very happy to have him in the fold. And he didn't mind throwing the odd cut lunch either, Tony. No. Let's be honest about it.
No. Look, it was all within the spirit of the game.
He just misunderstood.
Yes.
I've always said that.
We also thank Sydney for... Greg Williams as well. We could go on. We gave them Laidler, so, it was good. Tone, round 19, Hawthorn 10 at 14-74, defeating a valiant Carlton, 7-13. That's going to kill you every time, 55. The phrase is overused. We've used it a few times over the last 3 weeks or so. It was a close-run thing. To give a team that is, you would argue, tracking for a fourth premiership in a row... still arguably at the height of their powers, to give them that kind of scare, and I think it was.
That's
it
true.
It was a magnificent display by Carlton and a real indication of how the team is going under the greatest coach ever.
Well, absolutely, Tony. And on Hawthorn's dunghill, it has to be said, Launceston's become a bit of a fortress for Hawthorn. They haven't been beaten down there, and as you said, Carlton gave Hawthorn an almighty scare. There was that lapse, I suppose, early in the third quarter that really, in the finish, probably put paid to the result. But the thing with Carlton in this game against Hawthorn, as was the case, against other bona fide contenders, the Swans and Adelaide, was that they just hung in and hung in. And it's just disappointing that, we didn't get the chocolates. However, there's much to be gained from that experience for a lot of our younger players, and I'm sure we'll place all of them in good stead for the next challenge ahead and the one after that and the one after that.
You said there was a certain company that might want to sponsor Carlton, beginning with B. Who would they be?
Yes, well, I thought that maybe Brasso might be interested in a long-term arrangement with the club, because... let's be honest, we do need a little bit of polish at the moment. You can't fault the endeavour of the players, but we just need, when you look at Carlton, you look at Hawthorn and those players that bob up and just kill you with their finishing. We saw, they've got so many of them. Our captain was unavailable, but, Hawthorn without Rioli and Roughhead up front, it just gives you an indication of the strike power that the Hawks actually have. So I think we just need to, fine-tune those areas of our game. The game's changed in a lot of respects, Tony, but the one constant is kicking, the ability to kick and to finish properly. And Hawthorn, I would say, probably the fundamental benchmark at Hawthorn is that you have to be able to kick a ball to be of any interest to Alistair Clarkson. And that fundamental skill is just, they've proven how important it is to have good kickers on every line, not just up front.
Well, look, as you said, the rate of endeavour can't be faltered. That's locked in place. Let's take that as a given now, and we've seen that over the last 3 weeks. It dropped off maybe in the middle of the season, but it's definitely back, and that, that commitment, that intensity is definitely there. So square that away, work on skills next. There's no segue between that and what I'm about to say. Kerridge's game on Mitchell was magnificent.
Well, it was, and I suppose when you identify someone like Sam Kerridge, it's symptomatic of the importance of a collective return from, from every player and players playing for each other. And there was a fellow you've highlighted, Sam Kerridge, who did the team thing. You know, probably gave up his game to negate, you know, an outstanding player that is Sam Mitchell. And to keep Mitchell to 22 touches, I think was an enormous, you know, effort on Sam Kerridge's behalf. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of coaches of opposition teams looking pretty closely at that and realising, look, if you manage to hold Mitchell down, well, you're halfway there, aren't you? Yeah. Halfway there of winning the contest. And all power to Sam Kerridge. He's been a great pickup for the Carlton Football Club. Well done to him. It was a great showing on a bona fide star of the game.
At a similar stage in his career, they will no doubt be talking about Patrick Cripps in the same tones that they spoke about Sam Mitchell.
Well, the clearance king, you know, was on show again. It's, you know, it's hard to... You have to keep reminding yourself, Tony, that this kid's less than 50 games into his career. It's astonishing, the man-child, you know. And Danielle, our producer, you know, pointed out that great stat that he had 11 clearances on his own as compared with Hawthorn as a team, which racked up 22. So that gives you an idea of the input of Cripps, Paddy Cripps. And, of course, in Murphy's absence... Cripps has had to really put his hand up and stand up for the team. Ideally, you want strength in numbers. We need Murphy there. Mm. We don't want it falling on a player of Patrick Cripps's ability. But in saying that, you know, Brendan Bolton said before this game, he said that the Hawthorn match will tell us a lot about our own group and where they're at. Well, Patrick Cripps was one player who put his hand up and was up for the challenge, and it was a privilege to see him strutting his stuff and just being so creative out of midfield and around the contest. Yeah. So it was a great game by him.
Cometh the hour, cometh the man, boy, if you want to call Cripper that. He's so the baby-faced assassin.
Yes.
Zach Toohey had a great game too.
Well, he did. And again, you know, it's hard to be critical or find any criticism of the back half this year. Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the best players, and again, you've got Doherty and Simpson featuring too. He's amongst them, obviously. This
well, you just, you've, we have a sheet here that basically has Simpson and Doherty pre-printed in terms of best players.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, the one negative to that, obviously reading into it, obviously the ball's down there a lot, which probably too much for one's liking.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I think when, and I've said this before, Tony, when one reflects on the 2016 season, the success story, one of the great success stories has been the settling down of that back six and how well they've gelled and complement each other. It's a team within the team. And I think we've got a great opportunity to build on that in the weeks, months, years ahead. But reflecting on 2016, I think that's probably one of the great success stories of Carlton, that this group has been able to gel so well so quickly.
Couldn't agree more, Tone. Now, I'm going to hit you up for your 3-2-1.
3-2-1,
St Kilda game.
Yes, well, we've mentioned Sam Kerridge, and I think for that magnificent disciplined performance on Mitchell, I give him one vote.
Yep.
Zach Toohey, again, I could have given votes to Doherty or Simo, but let's share the love. I've given two to Zach. Great game for the Carlton Football Club.
Fair play,
probably
Zach.
Probably just could have improved his finishing. He had a couple of chances there, and he normally jails them, but however, I'm being picky. And three votes to the clearance king. We've talked about him already. Yeah. Patrick Cripps, outstanding game for the Carlton Football Club. May there be many more.
Amen to that. And look, honourable mentions to, who else we throw in there?
Well, Gibber you can throw in Gibber. You know, I thought even you had players like, Phillips for a period of time, although I think, you know, when you look at the ruck pairing of, who was it, Big Boy McAvoy, and the other fella went forward and did a bit of damage forward. We just perhaps need a little bit more from both Phillips and Cruz. Segler that was the name I was looking for. We just need a little bit more from those fellows pushing forward. But I do think in Phillips that we've got a player on the make as a ruckman, and I really like the way he commits himself to the contest, and he's a very honest player, and I like him a lot.
Playing the two rucks, what do you make of that?
Well, yeah, it's you know, I'm sure he and Cruiser can you know work in tandem and spread the workload. I think where we are at the moment, we really need both of them to be pushing forward.
Yeah,
and perhaps we didn't get the return that Hawthorn did with those two ruckmen I've mentioned. However, this is probably going to happen in the run home to the end of the season. Now that we're going to have to call on those fellas to offer targets up front, and hopefully when the likes of Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow make their way into the senior team, we're going to have strength in numbers in terms of our marking options up front. So let's see what happens. It's a work in progress.
In the meantime, Curnow the Elder, is flying the flag magnificently.
Well, he is, and he's another good player. Yeah. He's had a great year, Tony,
he really
must
has,
be said.
Yeah, and I really look forward to seeing how he pulls in the John Nicholls medal. That's going to be a Sisyphean ordeal, honing down who should walk away with that. But I think we already know who the shortlists are, or who's on the shortlist. Mm. Anyway, Carlton St Kilda, 7th of August at the MCG. It's not on Etihad, thankfully. 1:10 p.m. St Kilda coming off a 23-point loss to North Melbourne, and what a signature game that was. Congratulations to halves there. Last time we played St Kilda, they beat us at Etihad by 32 points. Crowd of almost 50,000, it's 47,500. It was the second highest ever in 20 meetings between the teams at Etihad. There is, of course, a Jewish connection between our two clubs.
Well, there is. There's always been a strong connection with the Jewish community. That was built on Lygon Street, Tony, it must be said. The early days when families like the Smorgans made Lygon Street their stronghold, you know. And always interesting when you look at the Smorgan family, how that lineage is split down the middle between Smorgans, the meat people, and the Smorgan family that are the scrap metal merchants out at Footscray. So you've got a virtual 50-50 split of the Smorgans between Carlton and the Footscray Football Club. But as you say, there is a strong Jewish connection. We can identify at least one Carlton player that of the Jewish persuasion.
Who's that?
Barney Lazarus played about a half a dozen games for Carlton in the early days of the 1900s. There was another player that we can sort of, you know, loosely laid claim to. He played a few exhibition games for Carlton in the 1880s.
Yeah.
Bert Rappaport, I think his name was. He played mainly for Fitzroy, so we can't, to the letter of the law, claim him. But Barney is one that is ours. And on Sunday this week, I believe that the Carlton Football Club is celebrating the very strong and very vibrant and very rich Jewish connection over many, many years with the football club.
That is fantastic. And it has been a great connection too. And, look forward to a Jew celebration of that, no pun intended. But, get on down there and celebrate if you are of the tribe, even if you're not.
Get down there anyway.
Good on you.
We're all inclusive down Carlton Way.
We certainly should be. Well, you look at Richard Pratt. The contribution of the Jewish community to the Carlton Football Club has been absolutely immense, and long may it continue. Rewald Kernaghan at the most club games as captain.
Well, Nick Rewald is closing in on Kernaghan's club games record, and that's across the board. That's the AFL record for most games as captain, which I think is 226. I may stand corrected, but I'm thinking that off the top. Little Dickie Bird tells me that Styx's record's safe, that maybe by season's end Nick Rewald will relinquish the St Kilda captaincy, probably about 25 games, maybe less, shy of the great man's record. So it will remain intact, the Kernaghan record for most games in the league as a captain of his club.
All right. Well, look, congratulations to Nick Rewald anyway, a fine player. Sadly, not to get the biscuits on that particular occasion. Glad that they're staying with Styx. Now, Tone, we have just been to a press conference.
We have indeed, and what a privilege it was to be there. You know, it's always sad when a career draws to a close, but in this instance, the great Andrew Walker, unfortunately, the physical nature of the game has perhaps put paid to his career ahead of what Andrew Walker would otherwise hope. But he will go out this Sunday playing his final game for the Carlton Football Club, a career that spans some 13 seasons, and it's had its ups and downs, as the man himself admitted. We'll talk a little bit about the press conference, Tony, but you were there. We were both there listening in intently amongst the entire playing group and members of staff that were there to support him, which was fantastic. What were your overriding impressions, Tony, of what you heard?
He said he was there with his three kids. I like they've got a bit of go about them.
Oh,
those kids.
That Cody That's is exciting. he is the kick to kick king in the Carlton rooms after match. He is ferocious at the footy and jot him down, listeners. Cody Walker, just put him in your little black book because come 2036 we might have a player there. But look, Andrew Walker has been a tremendous servant for the club. He made some really canny observations. Yeah. You know, I think what thinking about it now, what he said, it was lovely to hear him say how solid a position the playing group now was in under the watch of Brendan Bolton, and how he said, you know, Brendan Bolton has got this game plan in place. It's been embraced by the players to a T, and it works, and it endures, it holds up. And he lamented the fact that he was at the stage of his football life where it's all but at an end. To see, you know, players like Jakob Viertering and Silvani coming through meant that he would have loved to have been part of the new wave at Carlton. He acknowledged each of the coaches that he'd played under.
Yes, he spent more time on some than others.
He did indeed, but he acknowledged all of them. Yep. Admitted that, yes, he should have been given the car for Mark of the Year and wasn't. But I was going to pipe in, Tony, and remind him of the fact that in round one, his first game against the Eagles in 2004, he actually dropped the car. People remember he took this fly in his first game, and I think that's what I remember most. He literally burst onto the scene, and you could see the aerial capabilities of Andrew Walker. This was an excitement machine, a player that was going to give Carlton plenty in terms of the highlights reel over many years. And he dropped the mark on that occasion. Probably would have been Mark of the Year, but it was a hell of a statement to make in his opening game in a Carlton senior Guernsey. The other interesting observation, Tone, was the mention of the famed Guernsey number one. He welcomed the Guernsey in terms of a handover to Jack Silvani. Now, whether Jack does that or not, who knows? But it is worth noting, just putting my historian's hat on, that Serge Silvani actually wore 20 in his first year as a Carlton player before taking on the vacant number one Guernsey, which I think was vacated by Ken Hands when he retired as Carlton Ruckman. So it'll be interesting to see what Jack decides in terms of number one. But today is Andrew Walker's day. He goes out against St Kilda on Sunday, and let's hope all at Carlton turn out as a mark of respect to a player that's given 13 years of his life, 200 games plus. The first Indigenous 200-game player at Carlton. So he has a great place in Carlton football history. All power to him, and may he enjoy the next phase of what's hopefully a long and happy life.
He did make the point that fighting injuries has just got too taxing for him, and it's the battle of wounded knee, basically.
Well,
he's basically said he doesn't have any more in the tank to actually come to work to a club that he loves with colleagues that he loves. He doesn't have it anymore.
Who can blame him
after 13 years?
Very true, Tony. I mean, he can take comfort in the fact that he's never going to die wondering what might have been because he's actually, as you said, physically spent. You know, he'd mentioned that he'd put up with, I think, a knee complaint for pretty much the better part of the past 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we tend to neglect what goes on behind the scenes during the course of a week. We see the players run out of a weekend and we just think, oh, well, they're cherry ripe, ready to go. But you don't know the half of it in terms of what they have to do to prepare themselves and get their bodies right or as well as they could possibly be.
Yeah.
Despite all these physical ailments and hardships that obviously set them back. So it's a brutal game. You know, what you learn hearing someone like Andrew Walker speak is that the brutality of the contest, you know, and what the toll that it takes physically and emotionally, I'm sure, on every player. Who it doesn't matter who he is. It's a game that asks so much, both physically and mentally, of anyone that plays it.
He said something very nice too, just before we wrap up, Tone, that he thanked the supporters and the people who turn up for the games, and he said, "Still remember their faces when we win." And I just thought that was a classy acknowledgement of the role that supporters play and how important it is to turn up and see the great moments like those marks, and to see the great effort that players like Andrew Walker go to.
It's a great point, Tony, and I think in this day and age, where players can come and go in a blink, Andrew Walker has been the one constant Carlton number one Guernsey for 13 years, one club player. And supporters too are loyal. You know, when it's all said and done, the supporters stick with their club. And I think for them to hear that from Andrew Walker, it means a lot, because there's someone with cred, someone who has played out his entire career at the one place. And all power to him. May he enjoy his retirement. He's earned it. And when we think of Andrew Walker, we do think of the highlights, really. You know, that spectacular mark over Carlisle against Essendon. You know, I was there that night, and that's... Geez, that's one of the best marks I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, that brought the MCG to light. And it was a great story, wasn't it? After taking that mark, Brett Ratner told him minutes before, "Don't fly for the mark. Whatever you do, keep your feet on terra firma." He said, "Thank God I took the mark. It would have been a berating." And then he talked about how he was walking back to the goal square and he saw the mark replayed about eight times on the big screen.
I couldn't remember, Tone. Did he kick? Did he kick the goal?
I think he did. I think he did slot it. I'm pretty sure he did slot that. That one. So that was for Carlton supporters. You would regard that mark as an "I was there the day" moment. It was a magnificent mark. And how Cracker ever took Mark of the Year from him on that one? What did he refer to that mark as? A solid mark. He said it was a good solid mark, which is what it was. But this was another level.
Out of
the box. It was a great grab, and we'll always. They'll always be there on the highlights reel, Tony, long after Andrew Walker's gone and you and I have long departed. That they'll be there for time immemorial.
Exactly. And, running a close second is his musical ability. Don't forget he plays the guitar as well.
Yes.
A renaissance man, a man of many talents.
He is indeed, a bit like Styx.
When is that best of album coming out?
I saw Stand By Your Man getting a bit of a Guernsey in the retro round during the week on Fox. Yeah. So he'll never live that down, will he, the great man?
Now, so congratulations to a fantastic effort from Andrew Walker. Thank you for all your hard work at the Carlton Football Club. The second phase of your hard work for the Carlton Football Club begins now by developing those two boys of yours.
Yes.
Because, crikey, they are fruit that are hopefully not falling too far from the tree.
And isn't the father-son rule
magnificent thing? We love it. Thank you so much. This has been The Two Tones, episode 26. Tony DeBolf, Antonio Moclair signing out. Don't forget, Carlton, St Kilda, 7th of August, MCG at 1:10 p.m. See you there for Walks' last game.
Hear, hear.
Go Blues.